Coming up on this episode of Deal Weekly, a ton of Pixar Fest information like the foodie guide, decorations, dining options, and more.
Well, Downtown Disney updates are plenty as well. We talk about our upcoming trip to the parks this weekend and more. Deal Weekly starts now.
This is your captain speaking to you from the wheelhouse. I'd like to welcome all of you aboard the Deal Weekly podcast. For safe passage on our trip, please do not sit or climb on the outside railings. And be sure to watch your children. The water can be unpredictable in these parts, and we'd sure hate to lose any of you.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of Deal Weekly for the week of April 17th, 2024. I'm Teresa Urban.
How is it already middle of April?
I'm okay with it because that means we're leaving for Disneyland this weekend.
That's true. And I'm Tig Bushman. We would like to thank everyone who supports the show. But this week, we'd like to give a special shout out to Wendy E., Kate A., who's also our community manager, Cindy B., and Kyle W. for supporting the show. If you would like to help support the show and make sure we can keep bringing you the latest news and information, discussion, and interviews about Disneyland, head on over to dealweekly.net/support.
Now let's get to the news. Pixar Fest is coming in quick. Decorations for the festival are going up all around the resort. Last week, we talked about the decorations that started appearing in Downtown Disney. Well, this week, they're not only all over Downtown Disney, but they're showing up in both parks. Very colorful bunting has appeared on the lampposts along Main Street in Disneyland and Buena Vista Street in Disney California Adventure. Each lamppost has a different Pixar character at the top. And I love the representation of the characters. It's not just like the ones you see all the time. There's new, there's old. I love it.
Yeah, I like them. Somebody mentioned, I believe it was on the Mice Chat article of all things, and I kind of agree with their comment, which was Main Street, the lamppost stuff is usually a little more muted and kind of goes with the theme. And this is very vivid and very out there.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what they look like in person.
Yeah, it still looks pretty bright. Who is this?
That's Luca.
Oh, okay. It was a weird stylized version.
Shame on you. We've got Luca. We've got Ember, the Pixar truck, like the Pizza Planet truck, Sully. I think I saw Doug and Russell. I'm so excited to see these in person. Like, this is such a weird thing to be this excited about to, like, go see in the parks. But, Tag, not only do we get to see them this week, we get to see them twice this year. Because we'll see them this weekend when we're there, which is the weekend before Pixar Fest officially kicks off. And they'll still be up during our June trip. The thing I thought was really cool, I'm sure this was not intentional, but these are going to look great during the Pride Night events.
Oh, yes.
The bright, fun
colors. I was thinking that, too. I was like, this really goes well with all of this.
It's not a rainbow. It's just blue.
The Pixar colors.
Yeah, it's just the Pixar colors of blue, yellow, and red. They kind of have them blending together on these banners, but they're so fun. I'm really excited to see what it's weird. It looks like a rainbow, but it's not like...
Do you think when we're there that
the big one
on Main Street will show up? It should.
It might.
Maybe our last day.
Or the day after we leave is probably more.
Well, yes. They're like, you're like, it's just right over there.
We can see it. We rode the tram. We could see it backstage.
Yeah.
I'm excited, though, because I think last week the excitement was one of these stained glass installations had been installed in Downtown Disney. Now it looks like they've popped up all over the place. So I'm excited to see these in person.
I wonder if the ones in downtown, I mean, I guess not, but I feel like these are such good decorations that they could like hang out and they could like be there just for anything.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because it goes with the whole new aesthetic of Downtown Disney, is that kind of mid-century modern. I don't know. I am interested to see it all in person. So also the fact that we have two trips close enough that the same decorations are going to be up between both, and it's not like a year-long celebration.
Pretty wild.
With Pixar Fest just around the corner, there is another dining option coming to Disney California Adventure. With the launch of Better Together, a Pixar Pal celebration, there will be a dessert package available to guests. The package includes reserved seating for the parade, a selection of Pixar-inspired foods, desserts, and cheeses, with unlimited soft drinks and bottled water, plus coffee and a specialty mocktail. The package is $69 per guest, which I thought was interesting because there was no child price. So no matter what age you are, unless you're two or under and you're sitting on a lap, $69.
So we're going to go with the positives. First of all, this spread looks delicious. Does it not? Like there's a little bundt cake that reminds me
of... it's not all just sweets.
Yeah, yeah. I like that too. It's kind of... it looks like it's half and half sweet and savory. So we'll start with the savory because I think that's maybe... it's exciting, but not as exciting. We've got, it looks like a little charcuterie board. Basically, there's some crackers, there's some meats and cheeses, there's grapes. Moving on to the sweets. So fun. There is a Pixar colored Rice Krispie treat in the shape of a star. There is a little slice of the Pixar cake, the one that you can purchase the full size at Plaza Inn. There's also a little bundt cake. The bundt cake is giving me either cocoa or Family Madrigal vibes. I don't know which one it's themed after. I could see it being themed after either, one of the two, because it's colorful and it's got flowers. My personal favorite, there's a little grape soda Ellie Badge macaron. And then there's something in the back that's green, like bright green. I don't know what it is. I'm going to say it's a sweet, definitely. But it, I bet you it's themed off of like Toy Story.
This makes me want the charcuterie board or stuff. Maybe cheese, meat, maybe, grapes.
I could see that being Luca because of the blue.
Maybe.
Anyways, super fun.
It looks good.
I think
I don't know about $69.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the price point. But you know what though? Take that back. The price point doesn't feel as steep depending on how much of this you get. You get unlimited soft drinks, like you said.
Right, which you is basically free.
Yep, which you get this, but it's not for me paying for it in the park. You get this beautiful spread of savory and sweet treats, so that's at least a meal, if not more. So maybe, and reserve seating where you don't have to, reserve seating for the parade, so you don't have to try and figure that out ahead of time and kind of camp. So I could see it being worth it.
Yeah. Maybe. If they give you multiples of the, like, if there's like a endless buffet of this stuff, I think totally worth it. Because I would just eat my weight in the charcuterie cake? Board stuff.
I thought you were going to say the Pixar cake.
Well, the cake as well. I mean, this would be a good place to get the cake instead of having it. It's just, it actually looks like a more edible, doable version of the cake as well. Yeah. So
if this is something you're interested in or thinking about doing, or you sign up to do this, let us know. I'm curious what your thoughts are. Well, some new items are also launching for Pixar Fest that are just amazing. We're talking about sippers, popcorn buckets. They've announced ones that had not been previously announced. The first one we're going to talk about is a Coco guitar popcorn bucket.
Which looks cool.
I mean, the possibilities for popcorn buckets are endless. And a Magic Key exclusive Doug popcorn bucket. How stinking cute.
I will have this. I will have this. This Doug.
He's going to be so popular.
I have got a thing with Doug. I love Doug. When James and I went on our honeymoon to Disneyland, there was a meet and greet with Doug. Love Doug.
He is a great character. He really
is. I use the term squirrel all the time. Mm-hmm. He's just adorable.
I think Doug's a lot of people's spirit animal. I really do.
It is. I saw this come up on like social media or something, and I was like, no. Because I knew the second I saw it, I'm like, oh no, that is coming home with me 110%.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
It looks amazing.
You just know. Okay, so the new Jabba the Hutt popcorn bucket, when you opened his head, he did his creepy laugh. There's no way Doug doesn't say.
You think he's going to have something
to say? I think Doug's going to talk. I do. I think Doug's going to.
What's he going to say? Squirrel.
My name is Doug.
I just met you and I love you.
And I love you. I think Doug's going to, I think Doug, I, if not missed opportunity.
I think I need to watch this movie again because I love.
There you go. You can watch it on the plane. We got a 2 4-hour plane rides coming up here.
That's true. Well, we have some new information about the new dining locations coming to Downtown Disney in the near future. Paseo, Centrico, and Tiendita will be coming in the next few weeks, according to the Disney Parks blog. Din Tai Fung will be opening this summer, and a new steakhouse and barbecue concept locations will be coming as well in the former Tortilla Joe's footprint. Keyword footprint, which means they're probably going to get rid of the existing thing and build new.
Yeah, either that or my thought process was you could still have them exist in the same space how it is, maybe do some remodeling. But I feel like the barbecue thing could be a like the walk-up, like the taqueria, and then have the steakhouse as the sit-down portion. Unless they end up having both of them be like full sit-down things. But that was my thought when I'm like, I don't understand. And then I'm like, wait.
Random thing that came up on Fresh Baked construction update this week was Tortilla Joe's has been closed, but it looks like the walk-up taqueria is still open.
Oh.
Which, that was so good, that corn stuff they had there.
I need to have a one more last time there if we can, because my last time was not a good, it was not very good. It was not a good last experience there. Maybe it'll still be open.
Am just really looking forward to this part of Downtown Disney being open again.
Do you want to know what I was thinking about? Because we have five, did you just announce? Six. You announced six. Six new dining locations coming to Disneyland in this news article that we just talked about. We're not even including all of the different eateries that are going to be in the Parkside Market, which, what was that, three or four dining spots? Yep. In Parkside Market that haven't opened. There's going to be a ton of food options in Downtown Disney.
Which I think is good.
I think so too.
I feel like it's going to be very difficult, but I really want to try Din Tai Fung.
Yeah, Din Tai Fung is going to be the hot spot for a while. I think it's going to be difficult to get in.
Also going to be expensive.
To be able to eat and experience it, but I'm excited about it.
Photos just look so good.
And then Portos is coming, too. That hasn't started. They haven't been making any progress on that yet because Earl of Sandwich is still there. I think Earl's going to be shifting into their temporary space
anytime now.
But I was actually a little surprised that Din Tai Fung is opening this summer. For some reason, it felt like it should be a little further, like it was going to be a little further down, like maybe fall or winter.
Well, two of our weekly tiers have been there, but one of them shared it in our Discord chat that were the walls down around the grass area? Because that looked like I gotta
so
open the
what
Discord
you
now.
So what that was in the photo you're talking about? No, the walls are still up.
Okay,
looked like they were doing some work on the new stage area, but it looked like the walls were still what they looked like when we were there.
Okay.
At the end of
because I thought
year.
that was the new like security.
Nope, I think I don't know because the stage has the tower.
Okay,
the security things just
sure
just the
all these things look too close.
They, no, they're very similar looking, but yeah, the stage has the mid-century tower structure.
Gotcha.
Whereas the rest of them are just the canopy.
Sure.
Well, another location in Downtown Disney is undergoing some changes. I'm pretty excited about these changes. The popular Marceline's Confectionery is expanding. During the construction, there will be a Marceline's cart in Downtown Disney selling treats. So
this location definitely needed the extra space because it is a very popular
and the
location.
The thing that's crazy is it's the store, but then you also have a section that's kind of like where they make the different candies and stuff and have that awesome window that you can view in. But this is making more sense because what did we report on a couple weeks ago? The dress shop had moved. What is located next to Marceline's that I didn't really put two and two together until this week?
The dress shop.
The dress shop. So Marceline's will be expanding into the former Disney dress shop location. The big question still has not been answered. Where is Wonderground in this whole mix of things? Because I feel like They can't get rid of the Wonderground Gallery, right?
I don't know, but I don't think so. I don't want them to get rid of the Wonderground. That place is wonderful. It is, though. There's a lot of cool things there.
It's such a good shop.
Some interactivity has come to the construction walls of the Haunted Mansion. This is so cool that they added. They didn't need to, but they did.
Yes.
Magic band wearing guests can tap on specific tap points on the walls to hear sounds from the attraction. There are also QR codes to access the photo pass lens options for the Haunted Mansion for the Disneyland app.
Okay. Of all the not things you should be getting excited about when you're visiting Disneyland next, I'm so excited to go over to this construction wall. I know that sounds absolutely ridiculous, but I think it's so cool. And what a smart, good use of the Magic Band technology to make the construction wall interactive, which gives me a lot of hope. Because if they're going to do this to a construction wall, that makes me feel like it's not that difficult of a thing for them to do to create more of these interactive type experiences around the resort to make your Magic Band more magical and like more
worth
whatever,
it.
More worth it.
Are you bringing your Magic Band this week?
Side note, I was going to talk to you about that. We need to figure something out. I had issues with my Magic Band. I almost lost my Magic Band so I wore it all day when we were in Epcot. I almost lost it probably four times.
Why?
Because it kept popping off. So I need to find some sort, I need to get like a hair tie or some sort of some, like a secondary band.
I didn't have that problem at all.
Yeah. Vern didn't have that problem at all, but mine just kept, I don't know
what it was.
That's
what you get for getting a free Magic Band.
The thing that was hard about it is because of how it's so thin that I didn't really feel it when it was on. Oh. So I definitely couldn't feel when it had popped off.
Sure.
So yeah, there was a couple of times that...
I get dual use out of mine because I'm going to use it on the cruise ship.
Either that or maybe I need to just get one of the little like puck holders and just go that route.
Yeah, you could. I'm excited to use it on the cruise ship because like it's supposed to be able to get us in our rooms and buy stuff and everything, which is the dream at Disneyland if they'd ever do it. So I wouldn't have to take my wallet. It'd be wonderful.
I don't know. I need to make sure it's more secure to my wrist if I'm going to be able to start charging stuff with it because,
But this is a great idea for construction walls.
Yeah. It's so fun. Again, stupid, but I'm so excited to go.
Because what if they give you, like, you know how they put those, like, little history blurbs? What if you could do that and it would, like, read a history blurb
like,
to you?
Yeah, like in the ghost host voice type thing or something, or one of the Happy Haunts tells you the story of the Haunted Mansion or something.
That would be cool.
Cool.
It would be really cool.
Well, an interesting observation was made by the crew over at Mice Chat this week. Some lampposts at the Jolly Holiday, Rancho del Zocalo, and the Pirates of the Caribbean Bridge have been removed. This is likely related to the lamppost blowing over a few months ago in Town Square. And there was actually another post that also fell. I don't remember if it was a lamppost or some other, but another post.
Where was this?
Fell. I want to say it was closer to it may have been near the castle-y area or maybe the hub.
I know that they have a couple of those flagpoles on the bridge to the castle down and have been kind of doing. Anyway, I mean, obviously this is good because they're trying to do all this. Hopefully there's boxes there, so I assume that they're going to come back. It's not just going to go away forever. But, you know, the park's old, right? Like some of these things have been there for a long time. And so, it's necessary to do some updates and make sure this stuff is going to be safe for everybody.
The thing that is to note, though, is if you go to Rancho, it looks like the posts were kind of in the middle of the seating area. So they do have plants on top of them to try and make them a little bit more visible. But especially if you're walking around with your tray of food, just be very aware because there are big boxes now randomly throughout the seating area. So just be aware so you don't accidentally trip over one.
Well, with Tiana's Bayou Adventure winding down construction in Walt Disney World, not at Disneyland, but in Disney World, the ambassadors from the resort showed off some new mini ears. The ears are navy blue with gold details and artwork from the attraction. No date on when these will be on sale on either coast or coming to Disneyland.
Again, you all know that we're such Disney nerds. And I'm especially a Disney nerd about ears. I saw this promo video type thing that they had put out on Instagram. And I noticed these ears right away. I was like, wait a minute. And I was like getting all nerdy, like, is this the new ears? I'm glad I wasn't the only person. And somebody over at Disney Food Blog had the same like, pause, wait, this might be coming. I like them. I like them a lot. So like Tag said, they're kind of a more of a navy blue, but like Lewis is on one of the ears. It has the Tiana's Bayou Adventure logo on the other ear. I feel like if we would have been able to see the backside of the ears, they probably have either decorations or characters on the backside of the ears. And there's like a little, like a flower in the middle, kind of. It looks like a flower, but it's like a lily pad flower. So it's like Tiana's crown.
Yep.
I think these are so fun.
They're a neat looking set of ears. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, they're already coming out of the merch. That means things got to be getting closer.
I'm sure this is kind of the fun with it coming to Walt Disney World first and then Disneyland shortly after, is we get to kind of see all of, like, we get to like have a preview of all these things before they come to our park. But yeah, super cool. Well, it's that time again for our friend Eric over at ConciEars to catch us up on other Disney news.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with ConciEars, and welcome to the D180. While Teg and Teresa cover all things Disneyland in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. Let's begin our journey this week by actually not talking about any cruise ships at all. None. Not one, I swear. At least I think I do. Let's visit the International Flower and Garden Festival at Epcot again. The festival is still in full swing right now, and there are plenty of amazing topiaries to view, food kiosks to visit, and great musicians to groove to every night. The Journey of Water, inspired by Moana, is bubbling away in the World Nature section of the park, delighting guests young and old. This new feature is packed with opportunities to learn about plant life and the cycle of water on our planet. It's a new take on the old educational opportunities that used to fill the front of the park. Give it a look the next time you're around. This is a walkthrough attraction, so lines to enter are rarely long. Once you start meandering through the pathways, take your time to enjoy the sights and sounds around you. I know the Journey of Water is high on my list when I get to the parks next weekend. I and thousands of other runners will be jogging through the parks during the Springtime Surprise weekend from April 13th through the 16th. I can't wait to check out the new 10-mile route through Disney's Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, and Epcot. If you want to join in on the fun, I'm sorry, but you missed out on a lot of the 2024 season. There are some race bibs still available for volunteers for the event. But don't worry. Based on the popularity of this year's race set, Disney will definitely announce plenty more races for next year. Stay tuned to us and, I guess, Run Disney for more info as we get it. Elsewhere in Epcot, we've been warned of more changes to come. The ever-popular Test Track by Chevrolet is heading down for some renovations mid-June. And not just a quick overlay or some track adjustments. If rumors and concept art are true, we're getting a whole new experience with this high-speed attraction in World Discovery. Let's not even start with all of the things that might be happening over at Disney's Animal Kingdom and behind Fantasyland and Big Thunder Mountain in the Magic Kingdom. I'm pretty sure we're going to see plenty more coming out at the upcoming D23 event. Tickets to the D23 Expo went fast from what I heard. It seems like everybody is riding high on the excitement of big panels announcing movies, shows, and park attractions. I won't be able to attend myself, but I know plenty of you listeners will be. Stop by and say hi to Teg and Teresa for me. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you'd like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both DL Weekly and us, their official travel planners, ConciEars. We look forward to planning something special for you and yours. I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Thanks, Eric.
Yoo-hoo! Hello, everybody! It's me, Heimlich! My stomach is so empty! Hey, help me to go find something to eat! Come on, everybody, here we go!
Well, this week for Snack Chat, we actually have not one, but two foodie guides.
Yeah, so buckle up.
We have the Pixar Fest foodie guide, and we have the May the 4th foodie guide. Let's do the May the 4th foodie guide first, because it is the shorter one.
It is short and sweet.
I was thinking, my goodness, there's going to be so much stuff, and I looked at it, and unfortunately, of course, this foodie guide covers all of the Disney parks, so not like some of the foodie guides where it's all at one resort. All right, so for the May the 4th foodie guide, I have a couple things that sound good. I think at Docking Bay 7, available from May 4th through August 22nd, is available a new Shockin' Beef with Tatooine Bounty with peppers, onions, and crispy kale. It looks really good. It's another one of these like bowl things that you can get that I've always had great luck with.
I'm really excited over at Kat Saka's Kettle. There is... These just look so stinking good. But they are a Kenyan? I probably said that wrong. My apologies. Kenyan? I do not speak Star Wars. Kenyan Tapato Pie, which is curry spiced potatoes, mixed vegetables with a mint chutney. Yum! These look so good.
Over at Ronto's Roasters, available again from May 4th to August 22nd, is the Destrin Ice Cap, which is Sprite and kiwi syrup with sweet cream cheese. There's something similar to this there before that was good. I feel like it was Sprite with something else.
I don't think it was kiwi syrup,
yeah. But it's very similar. I always liked it before, so.
Okay. This is merch, but also food related. Bear with me. Over at Oga's Cantina, I need this. This is coming home with me. There is the Grinning Loath Cat souvenir mug. So not only...
Which looks really cool, by the way.
It's so cute. I need this. I need this. So Star Wars, definitely. James and Vern are the Star Wars people. Tag is definitely more so than me. I have a thing for the creatures of Star Wars, though. And I love the Loth Cats. Like, they're loath just... Loath Cats. I'm so bad at this. Loath Cats. I love them. I just love the creatures. I can't remember. Vern and I just watched some series, and they were all over the place, and I was just obsessed with them.
It was probably Star Wars Rebels.
Yes, it was Rebels. But not only am I excited for the Loath Cat mug, I'm excited for the drink that comes with it. The drink doesn't have a really that interesting name. The drink is just named the Guava Coconut Milk with Basil Crystals drink. But it's a guava juice, coconut milk, lime juice, and pure cane syrup topped with some basil crystals.
Hmm.
I'm curious how the basil mixes in with the rest of those flavors.
I don't know, but
I need this mug. It's gonna live next to my Porg mug that we got from Oga's.
How much do you think it's gonna cost, though? I feel like these tiki mugs are kind of pricey.
I think I want to say that Porg mug, what was it called? Like the Cliff Dweller or something. Oh. I want to say that the drink with that mug was like $60, if off the top of my head. They're not made of plastic. They are made of
glass. They're tiki.
Yeah,
cups.
It's a tiki mug. So it's some sort of like pottery glazed thing. It is a substantial mug. So it makes sense that they're a little more pricey. But
did you have anything else on the May the 4th foodie guide?
Those are the things that I'm the most excited about on the May the 4th foodie guide. I do want to note these items start on May the 4th, but are around through August 22nd. So apparently May the 4th season is longer and outlasts the season of the Force. I was a little confused that this wasn't kind of the same thing. Season of the Force food, that there's a separate foodie guide, but...
It is different.
Hey, we'll take it. It's totally fine.
All right. So for the Pixar Fest
buckle
foodie
in,
guide,
everyone. Buckle up.
I'm going to start here. The Alien Pizza Planet from April 26th through August 4th. They have a green drink inspired by Toy Story. It's an alien-inspired punch made with pineapple juice, ginger beer, lemon-lime Powerade with lemon sorbet, and a splash of vanilla served with lychee, popping pearls.
I'm excited one too. I mean, it's a themed sweet drink. You know, we're on board for this. Just to note, this foodie guide is humongous. So we're just going to go through. We don't have time. It would be its own separate episode. We do not have time to talk through every single thing that will be offered. We're just going to be talking about the things that stood out to us and the things that are our favorites.
I do want to throw one item under the bus.
Oh?
Yes. The Earth Pass cake at Cafe Orleans does not look very appetizing.
You know, you're just upset because it is lemon cream cheese mousse with mango passion
fruit. I'm just saying it doesn't look very good. Anyway,
it is not your,
what's your first choice?
I did want to mention Alien Pizza Planet has the Alien Macaroon again. However, someone needs to correct me. They do not say this is new, but I think this is new filling. It's a salted caramel buttercream with chocolate ganache and chocolate brownie bites.
Sounds
I do
good.
Not remember the Alien Macaroon having
macaron.
How does that work? Because it's ooh for the aliens, but you're right, it's macaron. Anyways, I don't remember this having this filling before. There was a purple filling at one point.
Yep.
They've had like a holiday version.
I'm the macaron guy, and I can't tell you.
I don't remember, especially the chocolate.
It was like
brownie
a fruit
bites.
One. Yeah, it was a fruit filling
yeah,
before.
This feels new. So if anyone. Yeah.
It was a purple filling, in fact.
Yeah, there was a purple filling yeah. the time we had it way long ago. So that one stood out to me just because I think I might have to try this because now I'm very curious about the filling. Jolly Holiday. I am looking forward to both of the things at Jolly Holiday. There's the Silencio Bruno sandwich, inspired, of course, by Luca. But it is chopped ham, salami, pepperoni, provolone, lettuce, tomato, pickled onion, and pepperoncini, topped with an Italian dressing and served in an Italian roll with house-made chips. It sounds delicious and refreshing because it's almost like a salad in a sandwich roll. Also, to finish it off for dessert, I need to try the Sea Monster Friends Parfait, again, inspired by Luca. Layers of graham cracker crumbs, mascarpone, cheesecake, berry blue gelatin, and blue chantilly topped with a Luca chocolate decoration.
That looks good, too, in the little photo here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At Rancho del Zocalo, I put down the Marigold Bridge inspired by cocoa, which is a tri-colored white sponge cinnamon croquentine cinnamon mousse and cream cheese frosting decorated with a chocolate bridge and orange chocolate shavings. That is a very fancy way to say mm-hmm. a fancy cupcake.
A pretty cupcake.
With
very
a
pretty
cool
cupcake.
Bridge from cocoa.
And I want to try the savory option, which is the Rivera Family Huarache, inspired by cocoa, which is a fried huarache with pollo asado, beans, cabbage, pepper, cajeta cheese, sour cream, and lime. Yum! Like, I'm so glad when we are there during Pixar Fest, we are there for 5 full solid park days because I don't know how we're going to get through this
all the food. Yeah.
I still am concerned.
Well, luckily this is their, yeah, this is all there for the next.
Yeah, this is for the 5
Some of
day.
Them are 2 trips because some of these will be there when we're there for D23 as well.
Oh.
Some, not yeah,
so
all.
We
like this
can,
one's August
so if
4th,
we need
but
to,
this is August 18th.
If we need to push some of these back, we can.
Yeah, we just Ooh. Have to pay attention to the dates.
Ooh.
So the next one I got is at the Cozy Cone Motel number 3, and it's the Chili Con Queso place. It is the Luigi...
Wait, you didn't want anything else in
no.
Disneyland?
No. The Luigi and Guido Cone inspired by Cars. It is a cheese tortellini, pomodoro sauce, and mozzarella topped with basil panko and served in a bread cone. Sounds
okay,
great.
Okay, so Tag has left me behind. I still got a lot to
you
eat
have a bunch of stuff, yep.
and enjoy in Disneyland. I'm heading to the Red Rose Tavern to try the Fergus Fizz inspired by Brave. It's a cranberry raspberry mix and Sprite with a butterscotch topper and granola crumble. I'm just so curious about the mixture of flavors here. It's either going to work or not.
Yeah, because like butterscotch and
yeah,
Sprite
like
and raspberry.
Cranberry, raspberry mix and Sprite makes sense.
Hmm.
Butterscotch and granola. So I'm real curious about this one. But it may work and it may be the best thing ever. You never know. Over at the Tropical Hideaway, I'm also going to try the pineapple coconut float inspired by Lava. Of course, the adorable short. It's blue Dole pineapple coconut juice topped with Dole Whip soft serve, strawberry lava, and a gummy.
It does look good.
It looks very refreshing.
You also have your crazy Troubadour Tavern. You're hanging out in Disneyland for a
I'm
lot of
I'm going to be at Disneyland a lot. The Troubadour Tavern, there's Firetown Mac and Cheese Bites, inspired by Elemental, which is fried Gouda mac and cheese bites tossed in 4 chili rub. Tag is going to stay far, far away because it sounds like it could be spicy. I'm also going to try the Adventure Is Out There cold brew, inspired by Up. Up is one of my absolute favorite Pixar movies, and you all know how much I love my Disney cold brews. This better be good, because it's like two of my favorite things combined. But it is a dark chocolate cold brew with butterscotch topper, wafer cookie, and confetti quins, which I think are basically
like
sprinkles.
Like sequins, but they're...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe they're like sparkly sprinkles.
That sounds good, actually.
It
I might try that.
Sounds delicious.
I'll try yours, so then I might
there
buy
you go.
One.
There you go. I'm also trying the Lotso Berry Lemonade, inspired, of course, by Toy Story, which is strawberry-flavored lemonade with sweet cream topper and an Outshine strawberry fruit bar.
Mm.
Yum.
Are you done with Disneyland?
I'm done eating my way through Disneyland
now. All right.
Now.
I have a ton of stuff at California Adventure. So at Flo's V8 Cafe, I'm looking at the Racing Radial Cakes, inspired by Cars. It's a chocolate cake filled with red cheesecake covered in dark chocolate glaze with a silver stripe. There's just something about it that just looks yummy.
There you go.
Jack Jack's Cookie Num Nums. I'm getting the Jack Jack Shortbread Cookie. I love shortbread cookie. Of course, inspired by The Incredibles, which is a shortbread cookie dipped in chocolate with a Jack Jack chocolate piece. Oh, this one. The Magic Key Terrace has a Luca seafood pasta that's, of course, inspired by Luca. It has grilled prawns, clams, Spanish chorizo, spicy white wine, tomato sauce. Okay, that might be a problem. Pappardelle pasta, mustard frills, and charred lemon half. Oh.
There you go. At Lamplight Lounge, I'm curious to try the Kohl Nut Puffs, which, of course, are inspired by Elemental.
Yeah, me
but
too.
They are filled with blue cloud mousse.
I also would try that.
They look a lot like the cosmic cream orbs.
They look like the ones that they had for like Star Wars. That was like the Darth Vader or something or other. Same colors.
Yeah.
I love the texture of those puff things.
Yeah,
there's something about them.
And it's funny because the first time we tried one, I very much assumed it was going to be warm. And was pleasantly surprised that they're cold.
I thought it was going to be crunchy.
That too.
But yeah. They're soft.
That too. Recuerda May at the Paradise Garden Grill. Paradise Garden Grill is always where it's at. There's so much every time. So much good stuff available at the Paradise Garden Grill. What are you trying there?
The El Pastor Tacos, because I can't not have El Pastor Tacos, which is a pineapple chote marinated pork with avocado spread and tomatillo salsa served with Spanish rice and refried beans. I will try to not get the beans because I'm not a big fan, but topped with queso fresco and the red velvet tres leches parfait topped with churro crunch and pink cinnamon mousse, finished with green pearls, orange mousse, and chocolate skull decoration. This just has a lot going on in it.
It does. I really want to try, I feel like this, I'm trying a similar thing at Rancho, but that's fine. I'm good to try it twice because this is different. Because this one's got soy chorizo, but it's the Huarache with soy chorizo beans and seasoned steak tips topped with lettuce, cheese, avocado, crema, and tomatillo salsa served with Spanish rice and refried beans. Inspired by Coco. It doesn't have a fun name, though. The other one had like a fun themed name, but oh. It looks so good. It looks like a really generous portion, too.
At the Four Town Fave Four Rights booth, inspired by Turning Red, they have the Red Panda Bao, which is a jumbo pork and vegetable stuffed bao with a chili garlic sauce, which sounds good.
This one sounds so good.
And the Panda Apocalypse, layers of chocolate chunk brownie and New York-style cheesecake topped with orange and red cream cheese frosting.
I'm also curious to try over at the Studio Catering Company, the Ramon Nachos, inspired by Cars. They're tortilla chips topped with grilled chicken, queso blanco, refried beans, pico de gallo, salsa verde, cojita, serrano peppers, and radishes. I know that you probably don't want to try it. It sounds like it might be a little...
Yeah.
Might be a little spicy.
I can try it, though. At Gusteau's To Go, inspired by Ratatouille, I'm going to try the Gusteau Macaron, which is a creme brulee mousse with caramel center.
I'm shocked.
What?
I can't remember the last time we've gone through a foodie guide.
And I picked a macaron.
And you picked a macaron because you were on this big, well, big, big macaron kick. And I think you overdid it.
That Snickers macaron burned me because it wasn't very good.
Oh, I liked it.
Yeah, it wasn't for me.
I think maybe you didn't get a good one.
I liked the idea of it and it didn't
execute. Yeah, maybe you didn't get a good one because the one we had, because that was like way back for my wedding when you tried that and got like, nope, turned off. So
they've had it again since then.
Yeah, for those of you. So it's been 2 years that Tag has not been excited about macarons, which that was his thing. Every foodie guide, it was like, check. Check, want to try that macaron, that macaron, that macaron.
You're right. I think it's been about 2 years since I've had a macaron.
It's been 2 years. It's been a long time.
Because you ask me about them all the time, and I'm like,
I'm always just like, what? Like, it's been 2 years, but I'm still shocked that you're not trying them. So I'm like, I'm so happy for you, Tig. I'm glad that you're feeling brave again to try a macaron.
I think maybe also we were talking about putting movies for the plane. I may have to put Ratatouille because I haven't seen that in a really long time either.
There you go. The Spark food booth inspired by Soul. I don't know how I feel about this. So that's why I feel like I want to try it. But there's the Supper Club chicken and potato waffles with peach cobbler sauce and a cinnamon herb crumble. I need to try these flavors together because reading the description, my brain cannot wrap around what this flavor combination is.
Sure.
So I'm really curious to try that. But we're going to head over to Porto Rosso pasta, of course, inspired by Luca, next.
Yes, and of course, we're going to get the Porto Rosso pesto pasta, which is ribbon pasta tossed in basil pesto with potatoes and green beans. By the way, side note, last week, 2 weeks ago, Teresa and Vern made this, it was yummy.
It was very good.
You guys made the homemade pesto and everything.
Made the homemade pesto and everything, and I was inspired. I even had I forgot to put them on there. Dang it. I saved little things of basil, like in the photo where you could make it like cute. But I forgot to do that. I want to try the Sea Monster lemonade when we're there as well. It's lemonade with white grape juice and peach syrup garnished with blue citrus mango jellies.
You're going to have to run to the restroom a lot.
Yep. I'm going to be well hydrated.
I'm
going to be real well, really, really, really well hydrated. Yeah.
At Elemental, table inspired by Elemental, the visually, I don't know, we'll see how it is, the Cole Nut Whoopie Cookie Pie, which is cake cookies baked with cocoa powder, filled with cream cheese frosting on top with crushed cinnamon candies. Could be good.
I was excited about it. I missed the cinnamon candies.
Are you not a cinnamon person?
I'm not a big cinnamon person, no.
But you eat a churro.
I like cinnamon. I don't really like cinnamon candies.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
They're different. They're different to me. So, yeah. And then over at Hanger Management, inspired by Inside Out, this is interesting. And again, it's kind of one of those like, I just want to try it. I want to try the Mood Swing, which is a half portion of the Joyful Yellow Comforting Mac and Cheese, which is basically macaroni and cheese with happy cheese puffs, and the Angry Red Hot Mac and Cheese, which is a red hot mac and cheese with spicy cheese crunch. So it's both of these, but smaller portions in the same thing. So I would like to try both of them just to try it.
Can we mention something?
Of course.
Real-time follow-up, as they say. You were right about the macaron with Alien Pizza Planet. You know why?
Yeah.
What is this topper?
It's purple.
There's a straw.
The straw topper is purple.
Yeah. By the way, there's a straw topper that's going to have Edna Mode, and I am here for it because she's amazing. I think does that finish out for you?
That finishes out the foodie guide. The only thing left is to talk about all the thing. So I already talked
about
Doug popcorn bucket. There is an adorable Slinky Dog sipper that will also be coming.
Is that a straw? Like, do you drink through his?
Yes, you drink through his spring. The spring is a straw.
Oh.
Isn't that adorable? Like Tag said, there's an Edna Mode straw topper. There's also a Panda May straw clip.
Yes. I might also have to get that because I like Panda May a lot.
I just like the little pose that she's got. She's like, ha! She's so excited.
Yeah. We saw that again in the theater, and I remembered how much I loved the Pandemay.
We might have another real-time update for you. The macaroon.
Okay.
Was a lemon macaron with blackberry filling.
Gotcha.
That's the was one that we're it's remembering.
Crushed, like, because as yeah, you eat someone, it, it crushes into someone, a bunch of pieces.
Yeah, someone took a aftermath yeah. photo there. But yeah, so this was the Disney food blog. So they did update the filling. I don't know when yeah. the filling got updated, but they did update it. I think this is what I remembered you and I trying was this one.
Yes, 100%. And it was there for a while, too. Mm-hmm. So, well, we wanted to remind all of you that if you are not going to be at our meetup this weekend at Disneyland, which would be amazing. By the way, that meetup is on
Sunday at 1:00, and it's going to be at the new green space on the west side of downtown Disney. So that's the side closest to the Disneyland Hotel entrance.
Yeah. If you can't make that, our public live stream for this month is going to take place on April 21st at 6 p.m. Disneyland time. And we're going to be streaming live from inside of Disney California Adventure because we're going to be trying some of the food offerings oh. and giving you our initial reactions, like before it even ends up in the podcast that we'll talk about later. You're going to see it as it happens.
The facial expressions, all that good stuff.
Yeah. So again, you can check that out on our YouTube page, youtube.com/DL Weekly. Again, that's 6 p.m. Disneyland time, Sunday, April 21st.
Or maybe if you're just a big fan of Foodie Guide and you want to see us actually trying food, this would be a good live stream to tune into. If you're not able to watch it as it's streaming live, have no fear. It will still be available to watch at a later time. Again, you can just go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/DL Weekly, and you can watch it at whenever's convenient.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For you.
DL Weekly announces the boarding of the Trivia Express, nonstop star speeder service to the moon of Endor. All passengers, please prepare for immediate boarding.
Welcome to Trivia Land, where we've got some great listener-submitted questions. And, you know, I'm looking at these, and there might be some pretty tough ones.
Oh,
I'm not,
dang it.
I'm not sure.
You had hope for us.
The listeners, they aren't always kind. And as I'm looking, at least to me, you guys always know the stuff that I don't know. So you're probably going to surprise me, but let's see how you do.
Not to derail us, Vern, but yes. I do want to make a point because I have forgotten to tell you this, that on our trip in June, it will be another churro smorgasbord.
Oh,
of course.
So we have to have, what did we just
say? There will be churro talk with
like
Vern.
Churro talk with Vern.
Oh, yes. Like I'll be taking my notes and my reviews of all the churros.
We can have a whole episode just with churros. Because there will be so many.
Well, do we want to do it all in one episode or do we want to like split it up into
do we want to have like a little section,
multiple episodes?
That of
Vern comes on every week and just does one review of one
churro
and then by the time the year is over, finally gotten out of...
Depending on the churro and how I feel about it, that could be an hour-long rant.
Can I tell you about one of the churros that I don't know if Tay even noticed?
You're talking about the chili cheese churro?
No. It's called... It's the Pixar Fest. So it's the Mr. Potato Head churro, and it has potato chips on it.
That seems weird. But you know what?
It's like you're eating Mr. Potato Head.
But I think that that's right up Vern's alley with the fiery, cheesy, whatever it was.
So happy, and I don't even have one. I'm just so happy for anybody that gets to have one.
You'll be able to try it in June.
You'll be able to try it in June.
Nice.
I'm gonna put us back on the
we
right
we need
track.
To make a list of all the churros so Vern can
so
check
Vern
them
can,
off.
No, he's just gonna. Oh, so
no, I just need to come up with all new trivia questions, and they're all going to be churro related.
Oh my
goodness!
All right, so back to where we were. Your first listener submitted question tonight from listener Ryan G. In the first room of the Sorcerer's Workshop, the room with all the zoetropes in the Animation Academy building, there is a mural on the wall that has a hidden message written in Atlantean and sneakily translated in the artwork. What does that message read?
I don't even think I knew this existed.
I didn't know about this either.
Stumped. It stands for stumped.
I'm going to be, oh man, I don't even think you can go in there anymore. Maybe you can. The Beast Library, they closed.
Right.
For sure. Did they close the entire thing?
You would have died if they closed the entire thing.
No. Like, not, no. The Sorcerer's Workshop.
Oh.
Wait, did they close that? Now I don't remember if it.
I don't know.
We'll check it out when we're there this weekend.
But the question.
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea.
That was just stalling to say you don't know.
Yeah, no, because what I was going to say was, I think I've only been in there once. I feel like a fake Disney, fake Animation Academy fan, because I just beeline
for... You're a fraud, Teresa.
I am a fraud. I just beeline for the Animation Academy.
You are a fraud.
So we got a whole lot of nothing. Great question. Good way to start.
It is a great question.
Your answers are no clue and don't know. Is that
maybe
final
one
answers?
Of those is right.
Yeah. To be honest, I don't know much about Atlantis, the movie, anyway, so...
Well, it's just in Atlantean. That doesn't mean it has to do with...
Right, but it's... I don't know.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
You're right.
We don't know.
Okay. Your second listener submitted question from listener Michael R.
Oh, God.
Yen Sid, because he's like...
I don't know.
The sorcerer. Sorry. Okay.
From listener Michael R. What is the name of the pub you visit in Mr. Toad's Wild Ride?
Oh, dang it. It's Winkies.
How do you know that?
You don't know if it's right. It's Winkies.
I'm gonna pull up my bar stool next to Therese on that one. But I am totally copying you because I would have no idea on my own.
Okay.
You could be hitching your tap to the wrong.
I was pulling up my bar stool,
oh, yeah.
Therese.
you could be pulling up to the wrong bar.
Yeah.
All right, your third listener submitted question from listener Sarah P. Before Disney California Adventure was created, a utopian park was to be the second park to Disneyland. What was the name for this futuristic land?
Westcott.
I don't want to talk about this one.
Which, can we just say how much of a dumb name Westcott is if we just think about it? Because it's Epcot, but Westcott, because they're like, let's make it a Westside Epcot.
They could have been a really cool name. I don't know what I would have called it instead, but
I wish they would have built that thing that was supposed to be bigger than Spaceship Earth, and it was supposed to be like surrounded by glass.
And then what
or
was
something.
It? The canals that took you all the way through. That was like this attraction in and of itself, and it was a way to get you from the front to the back.
Yep,
would have been so
Westcott.
So cool.
We did an episode of Westcott, didn't we?
We
or
did.
Bonus episode or something?
We did.
Yeah.
Final answer.
Yeah.
All right. And your fourth and final regular round question from listener Nathan C. The Country Bear Vacation Hoedown played in Critter Country from 1986 to 2001. Which character from this attraction can currently be viewed in the queue for Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout at DCA?
I'm sorry, one more time?
The Country Bear Vacation Hoedown played in Critter Country from 1986 to 2001. Which character from this attraction can currently be viewed in the queue for the Guardian of the Galaxy Mission Breakout at DCA?
I don't know her name, but I know she's a little octopus. Or maybe it's like Sally the Squid or something like that.
She was in that, wasn't it?
I'm going to say Sally.
I don't know where you're getting Sally from, but...
So you said Sally the Squid.
Sure. It's the... But yeah, it's definitely the squid or
she's
octopus
like a squid,
or whatever.
Squid or an octopus. But she's hanging out, I think, over by
Harold. But she was in Country Bear.
Mm-hmm. See, that's why I'm like, wait, can you say that again? Because there's a couple of old attraction pieces within Figment.
Well, there's Figment. Marv. I'm trying to think of the three-headed whatever that ended up being in Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, Melvin. The Buffalo Buff. Melvin Buff. And is it Buck?
Maybe. Anyway.
I don't remember their names now.
Okay. So was that Sally the Squid or Sally the Octopus?
Oh, no. I need to know what kind, which, oh, no.
I'm just looking for you. You said it both ways. I will let you just say Sally. Okay. That's what you want to say.
Because I feel like if I pick one or the other, and it was the other, I'm going to be really sad.
Okay.
And I think I'm pretty impressed if it is Sally, and I got that part okay. right.
I don't know if it's Sally, but I'm going to say octopus.
You're going to say...
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm leaning towards octopus, but if I don't have to pick, I'm just going to go with Sally.
Sure. All right. And a bonus question tonight from listener Andy M. Disney legend Paul Frees has been terrifying guests as the Haunted Mansion's ghost host for decades. However, he's also famous for three other major characters, two Disney ones and one non-Disney.
Well, Tony the Tiger is the non-Disney one.
Can you name them?
Tony the Tiger. They're great. What? Why? It's Tony the Tiger.
Paul. Okay. And he's one of the birds in the tiki room.
Yep.
Is it the Icy Schmidt has no hair?
I don't know.
Ugh.
Can we just say one of the four tiki? It has to be what the character's name is, right? Bird?
Yes, please.
Okay, so you said two?
Two Disney, one non-Disney. So three total is what he said.
Wait a minute. Pause.
What?
Paul Frees is the ghost host.
Yes.
The singing bust, Thurl Ravenscroft.
Oh, Thurl Ravenscroft is probably Tony the Tiger. Paul Frees. Well, crap. Now you've screwed me all up.
Sorry.
Well, thanks for saving me from
unless
myself.
Unless you want to go with Tony the Tiger.
No, I think you've saved me from myself.
Thank you for that, because I'm sitting over here frantically Googling who voiced Tony the Tiger.
He's so confident in this answer. Is he? No. I don't think he's Jose, because wasn't
he's
Jose?
He's not Jose. I don't know.
He was from in the review. He was in the Golden Horseshoe.
Okay, yep. It's the Billy Hill guy.
Yeah, I think...
Anyway, that's not the trivia question, so move on.
Yeah, so yes, it is, because the trivia question's who voice which bird. So I'm process sure. of elimination here.
Sure.
So I think it's either, let's see, we've got Jose.
So what did Paul Frees do that's a Disney character that's not Tiki Room?
That's what we're trying to figure out.
Because if I could think of what his voice sounds like, then I can help figure out that. Is Paul Frees the ghost host?
You're a ghost.
That's what I said.
Yes.
Oh.
That's you were thinking of the wrong voice in the Haunted
this
Mansion.
This question is a disaster to listen to.
I don't
try to work through.
I feel like I'm embarrassed. I think this is probably we know
Michael.
It.
I think he did the voice for Michael.
Michael? Okay, we'll go with
Michael.
Because
I feel like he's the it almost fell out of my upper perch might be that guy.
And
yeah.
I said, oh, I see Schmidt has no hair.
Yeah, so that'd be Michael, yeah, so, mi amigo, okay, wake up. It's showtime.
Michael.
No, that's all right, because then he says, so it is, and then he says, Pierre, you rascal?
Pierre, you rascal.
May I offer you some help?
Yes.
Get out of the tiki room.
Oh. Dang it.
He's like, you're spending so much time on the wrong answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the question again? I've gotten all confused with Tony the Tiger and Tag thinking of the wrong
Well, you're thinking
actor.
Of the wrong attraction.
All right. Paul Frees has been terrifying guests as the Haunted Mansion's ghost host for decades. He's also famous for three other major characters, two Disney and one non-Disney.
Okay, we got stuck in the park is what happened. He didn't say anything about...
I never said a word about the park.
He didn't say anything about theme park.
I have no idea.
I feel...
He's going to tell us that we're going to
kick
ourselves.
I feel like a terrible Haunted Mansion fan right now. You got me all turned around, though, with Tony the Tiger. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I thought that was Thurl Ravenscroft. Okay. We're going to go. We're terrible. We got too stumped on here.
Because Thurl Ravenscroft also did the Grinch, didn't he? No, he sung the song for the Grinch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Grinch. I've got that song stuck in my head.
Wrong season.
It is always Grinch season. That's a great movie. I know wrong
season.
Can
we just put you down as stumped for this?
Yeah. Yep. Big old question mark.
We're going to kick ourselves.
I'm pretty confident about everything between our two question marks.
All right.
You're welcome, Tag. You would have only gotten Westcott.
Well, listeners, how did you do listening at home? How do you think Tag and Teresa did? Stick around until after the discussion topic and we can all find out together.
Well, this week for our discussion topic, of course, we've talked a number of times this episode about how we're going to the parks this coming weekend, but that is not the only thing we are doing. So we kind of just want to talk to you guys. It won't be a long, long discussion. I have a feeling that our snack chat will be longer than our discussion
yeah,
topic.
Yeah.
But we want to kind of talk about what we're doing over the weekend. So what are we doing over the weekend?
So we purposefully planned this trip around the Disneyana Fan Club Spring Expo because there's always some really amazing presenters that go to this. It's a really well-run event. You all know how much we enjoy going to the Disneyana events. This will be our third or fourth. Now I got to double check. This might be...
So just so you guys are knowing, so if you want to hear about our stuff from before, episode 307, we talk about Disneyana. We went in episode 285 and 239. So
this will be our fourth.
Yep. Oh, right. Yeah.
This will be our fourth.
Yep. And 236. Yep. So hang on. Quite a lot.
So this will be our fourth Disneyana Expo and show and sale event. They're just so much fun. And the thing that's really fun and awesome about that for us, since we have to travel to go to these things, because no cool stuff happens like this for us Disney fans in the Midwest.
So
we have to travel places to go there. It is just a day, two-day event, depending on if you're doing the show and sale as well. But it's really close to the park. So you can do what we do and kind of make it into a park trip time as well. So you kind of get a little bit of like Disney history and Disney nerdiness, and then you can actually go enjoy the parks as well. So anyway, so we are going to the set. So we come in on Friday, going to spend some time in the parks on Friday. This is the first time
Friday evening. A long
time that all of the days that we are in Southern California, we can be in the parks because we do not have any blackout dates this time. So we're going to spend tons of time in the park, even if it's just partial days. Like Friday, it's going to be the day we fly in, so we're just going to spend the evening in the parks because, you know, why not? But Saturday afternoon is when the Disneyana event starts. We've got all sorts of amazing presenters. Kevin and Jody will be there. They are both people that have done a lot of different stuff. They're probably most well-known currently for the artwork and their, like, models and things that they make and sell. They're so, so, so talented, but they also worked with Imagineering on different parades, on different nighttime spectaculars and all sorts of stuff. So I'm sure they've got just so many amazing stories they're going to share about their time with the Walt Disney Company. And then we have Caitlin Robrock, who is the voice of Minnie Mouse, who is going to chat with us about her current role and her, she's just a big fan too. I saw her at the Mouse Meet conference last year, and she was a real joy to listen to her story. So I'm excited about that. And then Michael Vargo, who is the head of D23, the official Disney fan club, is going to be talking, of course, about D23. I think they even said we might be learning a little extra tidbits that have not been talked about yet about the expo weekend coming up soon. So,
and we'll corner him and ask him about the fiasco with tickets.
Tag.
I just get fired up. It's just funny. Michael Vargo, by the way, just I do want to mention, we have talked to him at a couple other events just casually. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't interview him or anything like that. He is a very nice guy. And
so
his
nice.
Wife is also
so
wonderful.
Nice.
And they've done a lot. They do a lot of things that aren't even directly related to D23. Yeah. They went to the Marceline event.
Honestly, Michael Vargo is the head of the D23 fan club, but he and his wife are just huge fans themselves. So they genuinely enjoy going to these events. We saw them actually at the last Disneyana Expo. They were there just attending as guests because, again, they just love supporting other fans that are putting together these fan events to celebrate the company and the history. So yeah, it's just incredible. So looking forward to all of their presentations for the daytime portion of the show.
I would highly recommend, by the way, if you are going to go to any part of this, personally, I think that day before with all of the stuff is more worth it, because there's going to, so we're going to have Saturday afternoon people that are going to, the people Teresa talked about, but then there's also a dinner that happens at night, and during the dinner is when some of the awards are given out, and this year they are giving the Disneyana Fan Club Disney Legend Award to Rebecca Klein, better known as Becky Klein. She's a Disney historian and author and director of the Walt Disney Company Archives. And they're also giving the Heritage Award to Jeffrey Barnes, Disney historian, college professor, and motivational speaker. So you will also get a little bit of information, little interviews and stuff with them around dinner time. So the tickets for this actually, because they include dinner, is $174, but if you become a Disney Anna Fan Club member, the price is $113, and the price to become a member is less than the difference between the two. So it is really within your interest to become a DFC member and then get the tickets to the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, of course, is the show and sale, which there's always so many neat things at the show and sale.
There, even if you just go, because you can get yourself in trouble going to the show and sell, because there's so many cool things.
I got myself in trouble last time I bought e-ticket, well, like a ticket book.
I bought a ton of books and was trying to figure out how to get them all home.
Almost didn't get them all home
because they were so heavy and couldn't fit in. Oh my gosh. So we did get ourselves in trouble one of the times that we were there. But there's so many amazing people to meet. People like Terry Harden typically have booths there. Bob Gurr's had booths there a couple of times. I'm not sure if either. I think Terry's going to be there this time. I don't think Bob will be. Rick Law is also going to be there. He's also a Disney artist doing it. So there's just really cool people to meet at the booths. Amazing. Like Tag said, he bought a ticket book. There's all this like Disney history stuff that you can see and purchase if you so dare with your bank account. But then there's a bunch of pins and gears, and there's a ton of collectible kind of stuff.
Those droid guys have been there a couple times who paint all the droids and stuff.
The people that do all the Marvel cosplaying that then go visit like children's hospitals. Speaking of, there's actually a Disney bounding contest. There's droid racing. Incredible. There's authors that go there. There's artists. There's our friends Where in the Park.
Anything Disney.
Yeah, that's where we met our friends from Where in the Park, was at the first Disneyana Expo. We also met Stephen Del Torre Jr., who is a Disney artist that does really fun, he calls them his Retroland series, but it's all sorts of Disney-inspired, Disneyland-inspired artwork.
You and I have bought a lot of it.
Attraction-inspired artwork. We love it. The style is like kind of a mid-century modern vibe, I guess, but kind of like cartoony. They're great. They're so great. Anyways, you just got to go.
Six of his postcards on our set behind us right now.
As we speak. And I have a big one that I got for Vern the first time we met him. So yeah, every time we stop by his booth, we end up picking up more things to add to our collection, because you never know what you're going to find when you're at the Disneyana event. So if you are not someone that is interested in maybe going to the Saturday events that are, like we said, more of the presentation-y type things, and maybe merch kind of stuff's more your thing, you definitely need to check out the show and sale. Again, the sale is on the 21st. General public, it's free admission for everyone. If you are a Disney fan club member or Disneyana fan club member, you do get an hour early admission. So doors open at 9 a.m. for all Disneyana fan club members. General public doors open at 10 a.m. and the event goes until 4.
Which we highly recommend becoming a member and going to these things. They have a couple of these events every year. There's always cool people. We've talked about it a lot on the podcast before, but in case you haven't heard those episodes, this is like a very personal D23. You will not get closer to these people and be able to chat with them.
It's much more intimate.
Intimate. That's the word that I'm
looking
for.
It's not something, how do I say this? Because sometimes I'm not even someone that gets overwhelmed. D23 can be overwhelming because it's just so massive and packed with so many amazing things that it's kind of, you have to be paying attention to where you need to go, when you need to be there, all that. So you don't have to worry with these smaller conventions, because there isn't that same, like, panicky feeling because everything's happening in the same room. So you don't have to make sure you're in the right, you're in the right spot. Like it, yeah, it's a much more relaxed, casual experience. D23 100% has its place because you just, you can't match D23 because there's so much stuff across the entire span of everything. But these are great for these more like you said, more intimate conversations and getting to know the people more so as well. We just love them. If I lived in Southern California or if I could like easily every single time I
teleporter.
Would be there, I would be there every single time because I really, really enjoy these style events. Same thing with Mouse Meet. I feel really bad that we're not able to go to the Pacific Northwest Mouse Meet this year, but timing wise where it fell, we just weren't able to do that because it's right before D23, so we just can't make the travel. If we had a teleporter, these small events are like,
we'd be at all
they're
of
like
them.
Gold. It's just incredible.
So the rest of the weekend, of course, Sunday, we're going to have our meetup at 1 p.m. by the Disneyland, by the downtown the Disney, lawn. The little lawn stage area.
They need to get an official name, so we have something better to say than the lawn.
Yeah. And then, of course, we're going to have our live stream from inside of DCA at 6 p.m., which we talked about earlier, which will be us trying a bunch of food and stuff from the Food and Wine Festival, which we have like a whole giant list of things.
I need to remake my list for this because it feels like it's been a long time. I know we've had several foodie guides, it feels like, come out since this foodie guide. So I don't even remember what all is on the Food and Wine Festival foodie guide. The only thing I remember, which I have zero desire to try, is the cheese pizza wings or whatever they were.
Oh,
that's the only thing that comes to mind. Ooh, kiwi apple lemonade. That's
was it the cheese pizza
the
wings? Oh yeah, it was.
There's a cheese.
I wanted
cheese pizza
to try
wings.
the pasta. What is it? The chicken
carbonara?
Parmesan. That the chicken parmesan.
The chicken parm bites.
Yeah, because it's brilliant.
I'm gonna have to relook at this. There's a couple of things that we've had on here that were delicious and definitely worth trying if you haven't before. But I think since we have such a limited time, because we gotta double check when this act, I think it ends on Sunday. So we have limited time. So not only do
we have
limited
Friday
stomach
night.
Space, we've got limited time to go get
Saturday morning.
Saturday's gonna be tough because I don't think the food booths open until 11 and we gotta make our
Sunday
way over
we'll
the
have stuff for the.
So we've got like a day and a half. Okay. To try this stuff. So we got to narrow our lists down, but I'm excited. And then not only do we have the Food and Wine Festival, the Season of the Force foodie guide is also going on, mainly at Disneyland. So we have to revisit if there are any items on that foodie guide that we want to try. We're going to have to save those and wait until Monday and Tuesday once the Food and Wine Festival is done. We can go on. We can start working our way through the Season of the Force foodie guide.
Here is our list. I found it in our thing. So these are all the things that we wanted.
We're going to have to cut that down.
That I wanted to try.
That's just your list. Look at how long. We can't go through all
that. Well, some of these. No, they're only available until April 26th. Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, no. What are we going to do?
Tough choices are going to have to. The cannoli churro. I forgot about that.
Yeah, the cannoli churro. Hello.
Oh, man. Okay, yeah. We're gonna have to be a little more cutthroat with our food choices. Oh, I love these. I have a love hate relationship with these foodie guides right now. I get really excited about them until I realize I can't possibly eat them all and try everything I want to try. However, good news. I'm quickly looking through the Season of the Force foodie guide. Much smaller list of things that we wanted to try from this one. So there's hope. Yeah, Tag, there's hope.
There's hope. That's good. Yeah, so there's a lot of food we're going to try. We're excited because this is the longest trip that we've done probably in, what, a year almost?
It's been a while because last year we seemed to be doing a lot of basically long weekend type trips. So maybe the full trip would be 5 days, but it'd be 3 solid days that we were there.
Yeah.
And 2 travel days, so...
This will be nice to finally be able to go, other than food, apparently, because we're just going to be eating. But it'll be nice
like
to go.
Just what happens to us when we're at the parks? We just eat.
It'll be nice to go. And, well, the good news is my body will be ready No, it won't. My body will be ready for our trip in June because I'll have had the cruise to get ready. But I'm going to weigh like 800 pounds at the end of summer.
Are you talking about your stomach? Like you're getting your stomach ready?
Well, yeah, because like on a cruise ship, you just eat and eat and eat. And so you just got to think about that with Disney too.
There's a watermelon slush. I forgot about that.
You need to put a whole list together, Teresa.
I do. I need to remake a new list.
Because then what? Okay, so that ends Sunday. And then what do we have? Season of the Force food?
Yep, that's what I'm looking at right now. Oh, my goodness. It's a much, much shorter list. It's much more doable.
Oh, they have fried chicken bows at
Barking Bay 7. That's on my list. I'm going to try those. I thought you wanted to try these Dubac chili noodles. They're spiced, though,
so I don't know if that's going to be good.
Spiced fettuccine. It doesn't say spicy, though.
Yeah.
Spiced versus spicy.
I don't know. It looks good. Those bows, I got a thing for bows. I'm telling you.
The bow bun looks, the chicken bows look really delicious.
So we're not really going to ride anything. Apparently, we're just going to constantly eating.
We're just going to keep eating.
Drinking. You're going to be drinking like all the different juice drinks.
Yep, all the different fruity
I feel like you're beverages. You need to go find the people who make these foodie guides and you just be like, you need to slow down.
I need you to slow down.
Eat enough.
On the drinks, I'm going to float away, as my mom used to say when I was little. She's like, if you drink more, you're going to start floating, which, yeah. Anyways, I was just looking because the one thing I'm not positive on is what does entertainment look like when we're there? We might be in some weird
crossover time. I'm very sad that we missed Wondrous Journeys.
But the Pixar fireworks haven't started yet, so I don't.
Do you know what else we still haven't eaten at? Tiana's.
It's because of all these foodie guys. Can we stop?
We just need to eat at a regular food place.
Because last time we were there was the holidays.
Not to mention
we had the holidays
pretzel
stuff.
Bengal barbecue creation we're trying to make.
That's right, too.
What is that graphic?
I don't know.
Teresa just went to Disneyland.com, and the graphic that loaded before the video started playing looked like the top of the Matterhorn.
With a Skyway bucket.
But with a Skyway bucket next to it. I'm like, something's not right.
I don't know. So the other thing, because I wasn't sure if we'd be in some sort of in-between zone, because Wondrous Journey just stopped for fireworks. The Pixar Together Forever fireworks don't start until the weekend after we're there. But we just checked on the Disneyland website, and it looks like we have Mickey's Mix Magic returning with fireworks even on the weekends. So we'll be enjoying some. That's such a fun show. Like, I was skeptical at first.
Well, and we reported on the new projectors that should be more bright, so that should be even cooler too.
You're right.
And of course, magic happens. I would happily watch Magic Happens.
Yep, is going while we're there as well. So, and World of Color 1 is also still going.
Which is the best World of Color show. Good.
So we've got plenty of entertainment to watch as well, even though it's kind of a weird in between the two seasons or events or celebrations or however you want to call it. But yeah.
Very I was just looking exciting. To see if there was any entertainment in Downtown Disney, because I feel like there's always something.
Downtown Disney Live. All sorts of stuff.
Well, we hope to see as many of you guys as possible at the meetup this weekend, if you can make it, or around the park.
Be sure to tune in to our live stream so you can come along with us as we, again, like Tag said, are trying out some of the different foods that are offered at the Food and Wine Fest, since we're coming in right at the tail end of the festival. But we're looking forward to it. Yeah, we're looking forward to meeting some new weekly tiers, seeing some familiar faces and reconnecting with some friends.
If you see us, you get a button.
Yes, if you see us, please come say hi. You do get a button from us that is special because we only...
Exclusive to in-person meetings.
Yes, we only give those buttons out to people that meet us in person. Usually meet us in person at the parks. So they are definitely special buttons. So if you see us, please don't be shy. Come over and say hello. We love meeting everyone and chit-chatting with y'all. So
that is true.
Woo! Welcome back to Trivial Ass Show. My name Raymond, and I hope them answers are bigger and better than this here back porch I got attached to me. Don't you know, Evangeline and I wish y'all the best of luck.
Welcome back to Trivia Land, where we are going to find out the answers to tonight's questions. How do you two feel?
Okay.
That's a lot of question marks on the end of
that. Yeah. Was.
There was a lot of question marks, period.
So anyway, okay.
Well, let's find out, shall we?
How poorly we did.
Your first listener submitted a question tonight from listener Ryan G. In the first room of the Sorcerer's Workshop, the room with all the zoetropes in the Animation Academy building, there is a mural on the wall that has a hidden message written in Atlantean and sneakily translated in the artwork. What does that message read? Teg said,
"More interesting than our answers."
And Teresa said, "I don't know. I always go straight to Animation Academy." The correct answer that we were looking for was Walt & Roy.
Dear, we could have just pulled that one out of thin air. Dang.
Well, that didn't help us.
No, that was I failed. That was a fail is what that was.
Your second listener submitted question from listener Michael R. What is the name of the pub you visit in Mr. Toad's Wild Ride?
I feel better about this one.
Teresa said Winkies.
I'm pretty
confident. And Teg pulled up his bar stool next to her and said, Winkies. The correct answer that we were looking for was Winkies Pub.
Woo!
Good job, Teresa.
Well done there. And your third listener submitted question from listener Sarah P. Before Disney California Adventure was created, a utopian park was to be the second park to Disneyland. What was the name for this futuristic land? Both of you promptly knowing that the correct answer was Westcott, the Western addition to Epcot.
Dang.
At least we got one for sure.
It could have been so cool.
Well, I mean, now we got two.
Two. I was going to say two.
But one for sure, probably. Anyway.
And your fourth and final regular round question from listener Nathan C. The Country Bear Vacation Hoedown played in Critter Country from 1986 to 2001. Which character from this attraction can currently be viewed in the queue for Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout at Disney California Adventure?
Is it Sally?
Sally.
Teresa said it's Sally. Teg said it's an octopus. The correct answer that I was looking for.
You didn't put Sally in front of your octopus?
No, I didn't put Sally in front of the octopus.
Oh, okay. So its name is octopus?
No, I just... Whatever. Sorry.
The correct answer that I was looking for was Dolores.
No.
The octopus.
Dang. Dang. I was so... feeling pretty good about Sally.
I feel like Sally is a name
that you use a lot. Is Sally one of the bears?
I don't know. I feel like you use Sally for a lot of things.
I could. Maybe it's my go-to name.
I think it is. Anyway.
And a fun fact, it is rumored that the Oogie Boogie animatronic used at the Haunted Mansion's Christmas overlay is actually Big Al from the Country Bear Vacation Hoedown.
Oh, that's cool.
I have heard about that.
Where did you pick up that? Was that from your...
That is from listener Nathan C. when this question was submitted.
Oh.
We learn all sorts of cool stuff from our listeners because we have the coolest listeners in all of the podcast.
We have a lot smarter listeners than we are.
Now I'm... You were a Country Bear person. Like you... I
didn't remember any of their names.
Yeah,
though.
I don't remember any of their
names. I just remember
Big Al.
Melvin and... Big Al.
I'm trying to remember what the
Liver Lips.
Liver
something?
Lips. Yes. Yes. I'm trying to remember what the one that comes down on and swinging. What her name is. Maybe her name's Sally.
Anyway, let's let burn.
And your bonus question tonight from listener Andy M. Disney legend Paul Frees has been terrifying guests as the Haunted Mansion's ghost host for decades. However, he's also famous for three other major characters, two Disney and one non-Disney. Can you name them?
Absolutely.
You got distracted on a different person and other characters and then finally decided that you were stumped. The specific correct answer that we were looking for was the auctioneer in the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh.
Ludwig von Drake. And Boris Badenov from Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh.
He is also the voice of the infamous Dead Men Tell No Tales in Pirates of the Caribbean.
I feel like I knew these. I don't know if I knew the Dead Men, but now that you say that, yes, that definitely sounds like the same voice.
And actually, when I looked up fictional characters voiced by Paul Frees, he's Burgermeister Meisterburger from Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Oh!
Ben Grimm in The Fantastic Four.
Wow.
Inspector Fenwick from Dudley Do-Right.
Wow. All sorts of stuff.
He's done a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this page is just covered. Yeah, Squiddly Diddly from The Ant of Ant and Secret Squirrel.
I'm not familiar with that one.
You're younger than me.
Okay. Update from the last question. The bear that comes down on the swing, her name is Trixie. So there is no Sally in the Country Bear Jamboree.
Right.
I made that up.
Paul Frees was Dirty Dawson in 101 Dalmatians.
Hmm. He did a lot.
A lot.
So yeah, a lot of voices from him. But anyway, listeners, how do you think they did? How did you do listening at home? If you've got that perfect question that you'd love for us to ask them sometime, feel free to send that in to us by filling out the form at dlweekly.net/trivia.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
And a special thank you to Sadell for editing the podcast.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us, and we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.